We're in Acts 12 tonight. We're going to have a little prayer time in the concluding time of this message tonight. Acts chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Some of you say, didn't you preach on this before? Yes, you didn't get it, so we're starting over, all right? Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Now, if you're here tonight and expecting this to come up on the screen, it's not coming. All right, unless Sharon's working feverishly, quickly, it's okay. There's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you if you need it, or you can lean over and look on with somebody. Acts 12, verse 1. Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. You ever been mistreated? But have you ever been mistreated for the gospel's sake? Take a stand for the Lord, and I'm here to tell you there'll be those that'll ostracize you and speak evil against you. Herod did more than speak. He started mistreating them. Verse 2 said he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. I'm telling you, that's bad news for the church. James, that's a half-brother of Jesus. Herod's killed him, cut his head off. When they saw it pleased the Jews, when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Can you imagine the church meeting? James, he's had his head cut off, and Herod saw that the Jews were so happy about it, he arrested Peter too and put him in jail. And you knew the next thing's coming. Oh, Herod's going to take the sword to Peter. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him to 400 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But, boy, you ought to underline this. Prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Fervently. That means hot, boiling over, with passion. They were crying out. I mean, one of their leaders already had his head cut off. The next leader of the church was in jail, and they figured his neck was next. And so they began to pray. Herod kept Peter in prison, but the people prayed. Now get the picture. Herod's in the palace, and he's got Peter in jail. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and a little band of believers are crying out, "Oh God!" And the real King of Kings heard about the trouble with the king of the land, and he dispatched angels. On that very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, sounding like a jet airplane. Well, that's not what it says, is it? But you never know. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. I mean, it's dark in that dungeon. You don't have electricity, no candles. It's dark. And a light comes on. Amen. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, said to him, "Get up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought it was a vision. He thought he was still asleep in a trance. Thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. Hello. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he finally said, "Goodness gracious." Wiped the sleep out of his eyes, and he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and they were praying. This is that crowd that's fervently praying back in verse number 5. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." Now, we're asking God to free him, but we know he's still in jail. "You're crazy. You're absolutely out of your head." But she kept insisting it was so. And they kept saying, "No, it's just his angel, it's a vision." But Peter continued knocking. And when they'd opened the door, they saw him. And they were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And then he left, and I mean, you understand that's another James. He left and went another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become to Peter. And when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. When he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and he was spending time there. There's trouble in Herod's house. The wrong people lost their head because the angel had heard the prayers of God's people that really didn't even believe that God could answer. And yet God did. Here's what I want to ask you. When's the last time you've been amazed in church? When you've been amazed and you just said, "Wow, look what God did." Amazed. Well, you know why we're not amazed very often? It's because we don't pray very much. And we don't pray very fervently. We just kind of get in a routine and go through the motion and, you know, stand up, pray, sit down, take an offering. But all of it, God just, bang, he broke in. He jumped right in the middle of what these people were about. Now, tonight, rather than talk to you about what you already know, I want to practice a little bit of what we're talking about. So I want us to pray about some things tonight. And there's three things I want us to pray about, and we're going to have a little prayer time. And I'm praying that God would hear us fervently pray and that we would be amazed. Number one, we're going to pray about Haiti. Now, we filled those buckets this morning and did a great job, and we almost had several come in and give tonight for it. But now we're sending some people to Haiti. I've got three people going to Haiti, and I'd like them to come down here and join me right now. Miranda, where are you? And the Trimbles. If y'all would just come right down here to me. Are the Trimbles here tonight? They're supposed to be. Yeah, here they are. Yeah, y'all come join me. Brother Leo, would you help me and just use the microphone here? Now, I want to introduce these people to you. This is Miranda Archikavitz. I got that right, didn't I? Amen. I've been practicing. Yeah. Now, Miranda, I want you to tell us where you're going and what you're going to do.
I'm going to Wanamint, Haiti, and Florida Baptist Children's Homes is going to be there. It's their first trip, and they're supposed to be increasing from about 70 children to 200, so we don't know what we're doing.
Okay.
Apparently. Amen. Well, they just said that everything's changing. So the last word was, we're going to be working with children. They'll assess it when we get there.
200 orphans.
200 orphans.
Florida Baptist Children's Home Mission.
Right.
And you're going with them. And when
exactly.
do you leave?
I leave on Friday to Miami, and then Saturday morning we meet up and head to the Dominican, and then we're going to drive for about 3 hours across the border.
Okay, on a big four-lane highway that's really nice.
I hear it's going to be dirt as soon as I hit Haiti.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be kind of like the Daytona 500, have
yes.
holes in it. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's going to be like. All right, good. Now the Trimbles are going too, and she's going to the Florida Baptist Children's Home, and you're going with?
The Florida Baptist Convention.
Yeah, with the convention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are you guys going to be doing down there?
I'm going down with, hopefully we can figure out what we're going to do with these buckets.
Yeah.
When they get there. Things like this. We're working at trying to figure out plans and make arrangements for teams that will be coming in.
All right.
And that type of thing, administrative type of thing with the incident command.
Now, Miranda.
And then Dick will probably be doing water.
Okay.
And assessments and everything else they can.
Trying to figure out so we can send others in and, uh-huh. and get it done. Mm-hmm. Now, you're coming back, aren't you?
Yes.
You have a round-trip ticket.
I do.
You have a one-way ticket.
I finally have a round-trip ticket.
Oh, you now have a round-trip ticket.
But that's so we could get in.
Okay.
But it may not be any
yeah,
good.
Yeah, probably not. Well, they're headed to Haiti, and the three of them are going down. You've seen on television, it's tough. It's not an easy place. And so as they go and work with these orphans, and then do assessment and with disaster relief and getting ready so that when our buckets arrive and we can get that out and other things, be 1,000 things. And that's what mission is. It's very fluid, very flexible. I mean, what you got planned one day doesn't happen. And you just go with the flow. That's the way that happens. But what I want to ask you all to do, I'm going to ask you to turn and just kneel here. And I'm going to have three or four of our folks come, lay their hands on you and dedicate you unto the Lord and pray His favor to be on you tonight. So if you'd just come and kneel right here, and some of our leadership, would you come quickly? Some of our deacons, different ones, and leaders, you just come. Maybe you know these folks, and that'll be a good thing. Won't you just to take a moment, lay your hands over on them, and I'll lead us as we pray together, and we're going to make a commitment of the Lord to these people. That's good. 4 or 5. That's great. Amen. And so they're going to just take a moment and pray over these three. Now remember, the church fervently prays. Do you know that God is in heaven? The same God of Acts chapter 12 is in heaven tonight in the throne room. And when you cry out to God for these people, God is already at work in an island nation of Haiti preparing something they don't know that He's preparing, getting ready to dispatch angels to do stuff that we hadn't even got planned. John Sullivan hadn't thought about it, and the children's home hadn't thought about it. But God has it in the heart of others what He's going to do, and He's going to use these and scores of others that are going to go. Why don't you just take a moment and pray for Dick and Sarah Jo as they go, and for Miranda as she goes and works for children. Would you take just a minute in your heart and just lift their names up to the Lord? That's Dick and Sarah Jo and Miranda. Just pray the favor of God on them right now. Amen. Father, I join the family of God tonight in asking You that for Miranda, that God, You would use her. Use her with these 200 orphans that are going to be crammed into these quarters and very difficult. God, help them to be patient with these kids and to love on them and encourage them. And I pray, Lord, that Your will would be done in her life. Change her for just Your good and glory during these days. And we pray that You would use her mightily with kids and workers. And then for the Trembles, we pray for them and ask You, Lord Jesus, that You'd use them. Thank You for the scores of times we've seen, God, You use this couple as they travel and go and do many things with disaster relief. And now, Lord, as they're there in a war-torn area that just really looks tough. Not a war made by man, but a war that's come through this natural disaster. I pray, Father, You'll give them the wherewithal, the wisdom to know exactly how to do what You have for them to do in the days ahead. And we commit Haiti unto You tonight, and we commit these three. In Jesus' name we pray. We entrust them and ask Your power on them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be praying for you guys as you go, and that'll be a good thing. So, Miranda, you bring me a good report, wouldn't you? Amen. And Dick and Sarah Jo, we'll look for a good report to come back out of you guys. Thank you. Amen. Now, prayer number two that we're going to make. This next weekend is Disciple Now, and we're going to be praying about Disciple Now. And so, you guys come, Chris, you and Jeremy, and be here, and I want you to help me for just a minute. Now, there's a lot of people here, they ain't got a clue what Disciple Now is. So I want you to tell us what Disciple Now is. What happens? Now, Jeremy leads our high school and Chris our middle school, and together we do a Disciple Now next weekend. So tell us what happens at that.
That's right. It's 6th grade through 12th grade. They start on Friday night here at a worship service in Passmore Hall, and they'll split off into age-graded groups, boys and girls, different groups, of course, into different homes. So 7th grade boys will be all with a group of 7th grade boys in a home, and they'll spend in that home with that family, with Bible study leaders, studying the Bible, going through different lessons, eating, hanging out with that family the weekend. It's a great time for the boys to bond and study the Bible together.
All right, good.
And girls, yeah.
Amen. So they'll start on Friday night and then all day Saturday.
All day Saturday, conclude here Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
They'll be here in worship with us at 11 o'clock.
Good deal. All right. Now, Chris, do you know how many folks we got involved in this? How many kids we're going to have involved?
Right now, we're right over 200, about 220.
All right. Good. How many homes will that be?
I know in middle school we have 11 homes involved. So high school?
Yeah, 13.
13 homes.
Okay, so that's 24.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Yeah. See, I can do that right here in my head. That's good. Are any of you tonight hosts of homes? Host homes. Would y'all just stand up if you're hosting? Yeah, just around. Any others here tonight? Boy, they need to get prayed up, I guess. Huh? Yeah. They're all coming to your house. All right? Amen. Yeah, they're resting up because next weekend they're going to need it. Okay, we'll have 24 of these homes, and we're going to commit them unto the Lord tonight. And I'm going to ask our two youth leaders that they would just kneel here, and we're going to pray and ask God to bless them, these 24 homes, these 220 kids, as they get together for D-Now weekend. So I'm going to ask three or four of you guys to come and just put your hands on them, pray for them. If you guys would, kneel right there. If there's a teenager or two who wants to come, that's good too. And Robert, you and Faith come certainly as host homes and host home people, and that'll be good. And grateful for some of these youth leaders that are coming and are going to surround them and pray for God's favor to be on D-Now. It is one of the most powerful weekends we can ever have when we reach out to our teenagers and love on them, encourage them. They'll learn a lot of Bible. They get a lot of things during this time. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good.
Father God, we just come to you this evening, Lord, just thanking you for this leadership that we have in middle and high school, Lord. And Lord, I just come to you this evening, Lord, lifting that weekend up, Lord, and the powerful things that will go on. Father God, I just pray for all the host homes, for those that are leading that weekend, Lord. I just pray for your presence, Lord, that will just touch these high school and middle school boys and girls. And Father, I just pray for parents of these children, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, that their child will come home anew and refreshed, Lord, with you, Lord, just in the center of their lives. Lord, I just thank you so much for this church and for its leadership, and I just ask all these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be praying about D-Now. That's coming up here this next weekend. Now, back in Acts 12, I've got one more thing I want us to pray about. But in Acts 12, in verse number 7, when the angel came, three things happened. And when you pray, you ought to be praying for three things to happen in people's lives. Number one, a light came on. Do you know anybody tonight that needs the light to come on? I mean, for the power of revelation to come in their life. That they would see their sin, to see their lostness, to see the error of their way, that they would see the right way, that they would know the thing to do, that the light would come on. You ought to pray fervently that the lights come on. I believe these metaphorically help us to see things that angels do when God dispatches them. There is fresh revelation. You pray this for me all the time. You pray, oh, God, speak to our pastor so he'll know what to say to us. Well, amen. Keep it up. Man, don't quit now. But I'm here to tell you, what you pray for me, pray for you. And what you pray for me and what you pray for yourself, pray for others. Pray that the lights come on in their life. That they will see and know the revelation of God through Scripture and through His Spirit. I noticed, Brother Leo, we were singing, and it surprised me a little bit while ago. When we were singing, I flipped over and looked at this song. Well, I mean, I didn't flip over, but I turned in the book. In I Surrender All. You don't want to see me flip over, all right? And when I saw I Surrender All, whoever put the words up, they didn't sing it out of the Baptist hymnal. They did it out of a different hymnal, and they changed stanza number two, where it said, "All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit." And the words we sang tonight was, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can truly know that thou art mine." That there is a power of revelation, not only through the Word of God, but through the Spirit of God. And then other times that comes through the church of God and through the man of God and through the people of God, that you will know the revelation of the Lord in someone's life. Number one, you pray fervently and the lights will come on when you pray. Number two, not only did the lights come on, but he woke him up. Do you know anybody that's asleep on God tonight and needs to wake up? My soul, I do. I know some folks that used to love God, and it's now they've just gone dormant spiritually. And here this metaphor, it says that he struck Peter's side and he woke him up. "Peter, wake up. We've got things to do. Put on your shoes. Put your cloak on. We're getting out of here." The Bible says the gates opened on their own. You say, "Now, preacher, that's a weirdness of things that never happened." Hey, let me tell you, we've had some doors around here that God blows open, no man get open for us. Well, I'm telling you, we were building this building. We had some doors had to open. We couldn't have built this building. Well, we got some things out here in the parking lot right now. If God doesn't open some doors, we're not going to be. I'm here to tell you, God in his time will open what door needs to be open if his people fervently pray. God's got a way of opening. You say, "Well, yeah, but that." Well, let me tell you, God does some physical things. I mean, getting you in places you've never gotten in before. Doing things for you that you just absolutely cannot believe that God would answer and move for you. He woke him up. Woke him up. And then the last thing, not only did the light shine in revelation, did he wake him up out of his spiritual lethargy, the third thing that happens is that his chains fell off. Amen. You know anybody that's bound tonight and they're in depression and difficulty and discouragement and they're just all bound up? Jesus said that we've come to preach the gospel to the bankrupt and the bruised and the blind and those that are bound, and the chains of God fall off their life. Amen. I, of course, talk about him from time to time, Eddie Ashari, that was here, and how God took the chains off his life. I keep running into people just over and over and over in places that say, "That guy affected my life." I hear it all the time. The guy that I talked about this morning that I handed money to when God gave me a Holy Spirit nudge and a bump and said, "That's what you need to do." And I gave when I was in his home, he was sharing. He said, "You know that guy that used to be in the church? I was in jail 10 years and he came to see me and God used him to touch my life." And he said, "Now, preacher, I'm free and the chains have fallen off." Amen. You're here tonight and you bound up in sin, I'm telling you, God can set you free. You listening by radio, internet, I'm telling you, God set you free tonight. For the chains come off and we are loosed and let go by the power of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, I'm going to have one more prayer time down here tonight. And here's the prayer that I want the people I want to come represent us. If you are in the room and you have your spouse in the room. Now, I don't want you to come if you're married and your partner's not here, but if you're married and you have your partner here, like Jeremy has Whitney, then that's a couple and they're married. I want every married couple that they are both physically present in the room tonight, I want you to come join me, right? This is not a Valentine's Day deal, all right? And anything to do with that. But it's what I want. There's some prayer needs. So if you're married and got your spouse here, I want you to come and just line all across here, because there'll be many. I want you to come and just turn face each other. And sweetheart, you can come up here with me. Yeah, and just turn face each other and hold both hands. That's good. Amen. Get close as you can there, Jeremy. Amen. Just giving you a little hard time. That's good. Good, good. Yeah, just jam on down here. That's good. Well, we got a lot of married couples here tonight. That's good. Praise the Lord. You can just kind of go on down that way. Now, church, I want you to hear me tonight. Those of you that are here and others. The minions of hell are after families. I've dealt with it this weekend probably in greater quantity than I've ever dealt with it. And I'm not talking about out yonder. I'm talking about folk in the church. Where the wicked one comes and tries to tear families apart. What we need is fervent prayer for our families. Now, this is not near all of us, and these are not the only families. There are single families and all kinds. But where the wicked one starts is he tries to tear a man from his wife and a wife from her husband. And so what I want you to do tonight here at the front, I want you to pray out loud. And I don't want you to pray for your own family. If you need to do that, go home, do it, all right? But I want you to pray for the families of this church, that God would make us one forever. Oh, I would to God we'd have a revival of family bond in our church and in the kingdom. People ripped apart. Stupid, sexual, psychological, all kind of different stuff. Liz on the phone this afternoon for 40 minutes. Another family. I was on the phone yesterday, another family. We visited Monday night, another family. It just on and on. But now I want you to know he's not a winner, the devil's not, because look at all this stuff. Amen. Yeah. I mean, my mom and daddy, did y'all get up and come? There they are over here. They've been doing this, and a bunch of y'all longer than them. Liz is stuck with me. This is it. Amen. We're going to hang on. I want you to pray for families tonight. Would you do that? Just take a moment and just pray. One of you pray, and it just lift that up to the Lord. And those of you that sit out there in the congregation tonight and family members, would you pray for families that God would make them strong this very night, that the lights come on, people wake up, and that the chains would fall off. Let's pray. Amen. Now, Father, thank you for family. And I pray, God, your blessing to be on our families tonight. Help us as we live out for you. And I pray, God, that you'd make one husband and wife within the body of Christ called Olive Baptist. And we give you praise and we give you honor and glory tonight and ask for favor to be on our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, y'all just stay right here with me. We're going to have an invitation. And if anybody else needs to come, then we'll let y'all pray for them. All right? Amen. We got more of us down here than we're inviting to come. All right? Now, in this text, they are in a peck of trouble. Peter's in jail. James has already had his head cut off. They're scared. You ever been scared? We all been scared. So we cry out unto the Lord. Man, you know John was scared here. His brother's dead. So I had him backwards, not Jesus' half-brother. It's John's brother that died. And he reported to Jesus' half-brother over here in the last half of the text. So that James has got the report. But they're fearful. Some of you tonight, maybe you're fearful. And you say tonight, Pastor, I need somebody to pray for me. Then we're going to invite you to come. We're going to sing. Wherever he leads, I'll go. And I'm going to walk right down through there and stand back there by Joe Pinson. Leo's going to sing. And these folks are just going to stay down here. If you need somebody to pray for you, come. You can find some prayer people down here. Amen. They'll extend the invitation, and that'll be a good thing. If you're here tonight and you've never joined this church, you may be standing down here and you're not a member of the church.